Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. This is our review of Ghostbusters Afterlife. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome along to this particular review of the brand new 32 years after the sequel Ghostbusters 2 film. This one is directed by Ivan Reitman's genius son, Jason Reitman. It's written by Reitman. He and Gil Keenan. And of course, it's based on Ghostbusters by Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, and Ivan Reitman. It stars Carrie Coon, Finn Wolfhard, McKenna Grace, and Paul Rudd. $75 million budget. I'm genuinely shocked by that.
You think it's high or you think it's low?
Low.
Yeah, actually.
I thought this would be a $125 to $150 million film.
Mm.
However, apparently they knew exactly what was up because the box office thus far in a COVID-affected world is just $89 million return.
What's that, one week? One day?
No, it's been out for a while. For a couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, this is one of those strange things again. With huge thanks to Kathy Baker from Sony Pictures. We were invited to the advanced screening here in Australia. Advanced screening in Australia because it doesn't come out until January 1st. But in America, it's been out for a couple of weeks. So It's that weird kind of world that we are currently living in thanks to, again, to COVID. Wayne, what is it about?
Okay, so Ghostbusters Afterlife is about a single mother and her two children, one gangly, one bespectacled. They move to a new town, which is like a country-ass town. And they're going there because they inherited this house from their grandparents, which is a decrepit old big motherfucker. And of course, they're having trouble with, like, you know, financial concerns and stuff like that. So they have to move to this place. But then they find it has a connection to the original Ghostbusters. That's right.
Who'd have thunk it?
And there's a secret legacy their grandfather left behind. That's what happens. That's the film.
All right. Fair enough.
By the way, shout out to Paul. That sound effect you heard at the very beginning was not our usual. It was, in fact, the sound of a proton pack powering up.
Anyone listening to this would know that.
Inspired opinion. I don't know. It's really nice work.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Critically, on Rotten Tomatoes, 63% of 241 reviews are positive with an average rating of 6.1 out of 10. Over on Metacritic, which we know is always harsher, 46 critics gave a score of 45 out of 100 on average.
Yo!
Indicating mixed or average reviews. I think we just know exactly what Wayne thinks about this film right there. And in audiences polled by CinemaScore on the A plus to F scale, an average rating of A minus.
There you go.
So which basically means that the audience is loving it. The critics, less so.
That's fine. As Kevin Costner says, I make movies for audiences, not for critics.
Whenever he gets trashed. Exactly like that.
Yeah, exactly like that.
Fair enough. All right, then, Wayne, take us away. Your initial thoughts, non-spoiler, of course, until we hit the clear spoiler marker, because if you're an Australian, you probably haven't had a chance to see this yet.
Yes, and please do not hit the spoiler.
We will be very careful, though.
And it's a big spoiler at the end.
We'll keep it very short.
Yeah.
I think this initial sort of overview of what we think, and then we'll get into it in more detail on the other side. Wayne, what do you think of Ghostbusters : Afterlife?
I think I'm an old man, Paul, because I look at this film and it's clearly for a PG audience, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. And zero qualms with my daughter watching this film.
Well, this is the thing. 80s Ghostbusters was 80s PG.
Yep.
And when the librarian goes, that's fucking scary, I shat my pants.
More disturbing than that, because I know, because I watched the original with my daughter yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, so we
did. Did she have any problem with it?
Well, I had to fast forward through the scary bit.
Yeah.
Also had to fast forward through the bit where Ray gets
a blowjob from a ghost. That's right. And I remember looking at that as a kid in Ghostbusters, seeing his pants get opened mystically by a blonde, hot fucking ghost. Yep. And then him going, oh, and me laughing going, she's doing something to his dick. And that's what I was like.
My daughter, not being an idiot, goes, why did you fast forward that bit? And I'm like, this stuff you don't need yet to see.
Oh, shit. Oh, God. That's why I didn't have children. I can't have these conversations. Also, I didn't want them. So, like,
I agree. This is way childer-friendlier, family-friendlier. This is a family adventure. There's barely anything frightening in this movie. Barely anything scary at all.
No, and it's not.
It's not meant to be.
Exactly. It's not meant to be. But I guess for my money, having been this 80s guy who saw Ray get blown by a ghost, I would like a little more edge on this one to make it mean a bit more to me. But
you're actually making a complaint then about how movies have evolved.
Agree.
Because in the 80s, you had things like Monster Squad and Goonies where people died and the kids were on the adventure and whatever else. In the 2021s, you don't get any of that. It's all been fucking ironed out because kids can't handle that shit.
Is that so?
Yeah. That's what the filmmakers believe. It won't sell.
I think you're right.
If you have a scene where
people are all bitches and kids are all weak now because we've had such a good Such a good period. And now it's like, you know what they say? Bad times make strong men. Weak times, whatever. You know, good times make weak men. So who knows? But I agree. You're right. I reckon kids can't handle it. I reckon they're wiener schnitzels.
And kids can't handle it because parents are telling them they can't handle it.
Right. Oh, well, I'm sure it's our fault. But, well, yeah. And so, but I would say this, okay? I think it's a great effort because the feels, which Paul never had because he has no heart. But, like, let's say, like, towards the things that it does at the end and stuff
like
that.
You're killing me, Smalls.
It's a valiant sort of, like, you know, I think the idea that I initially had a problem with, it's not in New York. Because New York is like a character in the original film, right?
So much so that, I know we're not talking about the original here.
Yeah.
But cataclysmic events are happening. World could possibly end starting at the nexus of New York in the first film.
Yeah.
People just standing around the streets going, look at that! Woo! Instead of running for cover. I was like watching yesterday going, this is dumb.
Dude, I've seen of humanity lately, a lot of them wouldn't give a fuck or know what to give a fuck about. I'm telling you, man. When I see rallies, I'm like, what the fuck? Anyway.
Yeah, well, it's a different story.
So anyway, it's a different story. But, okay, so I think that it's obviously fucking Easter Egg City.
Oh, yeah. Right? There's heaps of that.
And that's great.
But good. I'm glad you make the
it's
point.
It's relying very heavily on that.
Too much.
It relies heavily on the entire IP, bro. If this movie wasn't,
of course, it's a sequel.
I get that, right? But like I'm saying, like this is a nostalgia. This is like a Spielberg-y movie. This is such a family ass movie.
Can I weigh in?
Yeah, please hit it.
I would 100% agree that this film wants to have it stay puffed Marshmallow Man and eat him too. Right? It wants to have this new generation of Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
but it also wants to throw back hard enough to have all the old school fans basically touching their dicks or their bits in the theater.
I think that's
it wants to have it both ways.
But it
and unfortunately,
to, right?
It qualifies both. It either needed to lean harder into the original,
yeah,
or it needed to not be so dependent on them as well.
Well, that okay, I kind of see what
again,
you're saying there.
Being very vague for spoilers.
Absolutely, but like the fact that I was, because with the New York thing, and this is set in like a fucking farm country kind of place, right? I actually think it was a good call, because if you just make it, it's people in New York again, people would complain about that.
Did not bother me at all.
Yeah, so I don't have a problem with
setting.
It. Yeah, it's not mimicking the original. It is trying to be its own film. It's not necessarily a good enough film to be its own
film. Well, here's where we disagree, Wayne.
All right.
Well, no, I agree with the last point.
Yeah.
This is The Force Awakens of the Ghostbusters films.
No, The Force Awakens, actually, yes, it is.
It's just rehashing virtually the entire plot.
Do you think?
With the next generation of characters.
Well, hang on. I don't know that I agree with that, because I don't believe, at least from the screening, that they're trying to set up the new Ghostbusters.
Don't you?
No.
You are wrong, sir.
Really? Because
absolutely wrong.
Not to spoil anything, but the last scene, is that supposed to be... Is that a throwback or isn't it? I don't know. Okay.
We'll leave that alone.
All right, fine. This isn't making her the new goat. There's only two of them.
Wrong.
Oh, the fucking podcast kid?
Yep.
Fuck that kid. He's not going to do shit.
Oh!
Right. Did you have a brain tumor for breakfast?
He is the Ray of the group.
Is he?
Yes. How did you not see this? He even wears the fucking stupid...
Wait a minute.
Binocular goggle things.
Oh. But he wasn't
he's
Ray
got the
to
same
me.
Hair.
He's not Ray to... Oh, he does have the same hair. So wait a minute. So Egon is... The girl.
Okay,
we'll go back on this one, okay? But interesting point. I didn't get that from
him. Wow, didn't you?
No, I was sitting there going,
this is Shia LaBeouf picking up the fucking hat at the end of the film that doesn't exist.
Well, okay, let's shall we say then, like speaking of characters, I think a lot of characters that are not, shall we say, the major one or two characters, right, have fuck all to do and I didn't care about them. Like, I didn't care much about them, right? Like Finn Wolfhard,
yeah.
I didn't really care much
about
them.
Yeah, we gotta be, again, careful for spoilers.
Okay.
I also agree. I think the characterization of Phoebe is really good.
Yeah, McKenna Grace, the best thing about the film.
Absolutely is. McKenna Grace is a standout. This film was shot, I think, in 2017 or early 2018. Oh. So we're three and a half years on from the shooting. Apparently, she's just basically gone through puberty in the interim and is unrecognizable.
Really?
Now. Yeah.
I was just going to say, that kid has got a huge future because she's so good and this movie is on her back.
Yep.
All right. Like, no
I
doubt.
I agree. She's the standout performance.
Right? And
I think the mum's good too.
The mum's great.
Carrie Coon.
Definitely.
I think she's pretty good in everything that she's in.
What else
Paul
is
Rudd.
She?
Paul Rudd is. She was in The Leftovers.
Oh, okay.
And she was in Gone Girl. She was Ben Affleck's sister.
Was she?
Yeah.
I thought. Yes. Yeah. Okay. No, that's nice.
And numerous other projects as well. Paul Rudd, fine. He's good. He's so much better than Lewis Tully in the original.
Okay. We'll have to go to spoilers that one. But yes. Is he the Lewis Tully
though? Of course he is.
He's so good looking. Are you sure?
Yeah.
He was moments of Louis Tully, but he's
But he's playing the equivalent
character. I don't think there are all equivalent characters. Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, I was very happy. Yeah, okay.
Oh, we'll get into it. All right. Yeah, well, overall, I guess I have to give my impression. This film's fine. I enjoyed enough my time. I wasn't blown away. I don't think this is a second coming. I think it's really good for the nostalgia for people, like you said, old men and women and anyone in between who loves Ghostbusters. But I don't think it's an overly amazing or successful
No,
film.
I don't believe it is either. I think I had enough. Well, in the cinema, me and Paul saw it together.
Yep. Relative rarity these days.
Yes, not often, is it? And so I remember exhaling with recognition on many occasions. When I see a reference, I go, like this, right?
People were clapping.
People were clapping like a motherfucker.
Clearly, there was a lot of big fans at
this is why I say I'm old, Paul. I think I'm old and bitter now, and it's hard for me to enjoy shit unless it's really good.
I thought it'd be the other way. I really like this because I'm old.
I think the fondness I have for it is because I believe the heartstrings...
We're going to have exactly the same score. Okay.
Okay. All right. The heartstrings they're tugging at worked, like, on some level, but I'm old, so my heart is dull now, Paul.
Fair enough. All right. Well, I'm recommending, if you're a fan of Ghostbusters, if you like the original and you're a bit on the second one, because I can't remember a single beat from the second one.
Do you mean the Melissa McCarthy one?
No. Oh, Ghostbusters 2 from 1989.
Dude, Ghostbusters 2 I almost like more. Almost.
What?
Almost. You're fat. Bloated. No. Stupid. I'll just tell you this, okay? Who are you going to call? He-Man! That is a Deep Cuts reference from the second one. If anyone knows what I'm talking about, hit us up, okay? It's fucking great moment.
Okay, the Answer the Call girls version, which I think still exists in this universe somehow.
Does it?
Yeah, I think it does. I think this is considered the fourth film.
No, they didn't reference anything.
No, they did initially.
No, they did in the trailer, but the movie you saw has nothing to do with
it. One way or the other, this is a better film than that.
Oh, no, this kicks the shit out of that. This is probably the one you wanted when you heard about the other
scene. I would agree. So there we are. That's our initial thoughts. Let's get into big spoilers on the other side of...
Huge spoilers.
Jack.
You can't handle the truth.
And I think we've already touched on the major points of the truth. The truth being you can't have so much leniency on the original and have so many throwbacks and then want to create the next generation and it work.
I don't know. I think someone's probably able to do it. My bigger issue, Paul, was that a lot of things for me... didn't work. One of the big things I had was everyone in this film is a bit too comfortable with the paranormal for me. Like that Phoebe kid, right? Yeah. She goes into a dark basement. It turns out to be Egon's fucking den or whatever, right? And then the ghost Egon starts moving lights and talking to her
before
and shit.
That,
I'm like, what the fuck?
Before would that, shit we've established pants. She's on the spectrum of some description or another, right?
Is it? Or is it she's just a genius like Egon?
No, I think they're very... I mean, Egon's on the spectrum. Go back and watch the original. He's totally on the spectrum.
I see.
Spectrum? Spectrum.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Okay. Right,
so
but that doesn't make it like less
His
scared.
Daughter's not. She seems to be able to connect and whatever in a relatively neurotypical kind of way. But she says, I don't believe... in the supernatural, and then the chessboard pieces start moving, and she doesn't react.
There! That's what I mean! If that's happened to me at that age, shit everywhere. Shit brick walls.
Then Finn, as Wolfhard, who, as you say, he is very much sidelined in this film. Mm. And in one way, it's kudos to the film for giving the youngest sister the bigger arc.
Instead of
the older boy. And this younger sister
and the well-known boy.
A funny kind of add-on, you know, make cute comments thing.
Yes.
Right, so well done to the film for that.
Hmm.
He's met up with some chick who I did not know her name until the credits.
Yeah, I don't know her name either.
And she's the Winston Zeddemore of this film.
Is that what's going on?
Yes. And I think it's really uncomfortable. She's also African-American.
Yeah, token.
And they've totally just sort of shoehorned.
Why is she Winston?
Because she's the fourth. She's the one with the fourth proton pack. She comes in late. She doesn't really get it. She's just sort of following along.
Okay, now that you've mentioned this and you've pointed it out to me. I don't like
I don't know why we need
so
to
Finn
do
Wolfhard
that.
So Finn is Peter Venkman.
Is he now?
That's the thing. He doesn't think
I guess so, yeah. I mean, that's where
is
it falls
down. Is the idea that
down.
He gets all the poontang?
Oh, no,
I don't know.
Okay, it's not like 100% for life, but there's enough where we've got four
you're
of
representing.
Them.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
He's the one that falls out, but she's Winston Zeddemore. The other dude's Ray, the podcasting dude, and of course Phoebe is Egon.
Okay, well...
Tully is Paul Rudd. And the mom is Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, okay. I mean, okay. If you're just representing the space of those
characters. But it's all pretty much there.
I don't think...
But the whole plot beats are pretty much the same.
Are they, though?
Goes is coming back. The fucking Keymaster and Gatekeeper dogs go out and infect. The two people are going to infect. They get together. They fuck. When they fuck and the consummate, Goza can come back. Now our Ghostbusters have to defeat them in a different way.
Yeah.
Sure. But the same fucking thing.
But like now, when you're making...
We didn't get a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. We got mini Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yeah, but when you're making a thing like this, I'm just trying to, like, from a studio, or even from a, just a creator point of view, if you're saying, hey, write the next Ghostbusters film, and the brief is, it's got to be the same but different. That's what they always say. Well, right? Yes. Some people have pulled this off, where it's like, it felt like the original...
Yeah, Max Fury Road.
Well, for my money, the Force Awakens pulled it off. Creed, yeah.
Force Awakens is the best of those films.
Yeah.
But its biggest lodestone around its neck is you're just redoing Star Wars.
Yeah, I know, but it worked, man. It made me feel the way I wanted to feel. The other two fucking didn't. Well, I sound like the second one, but it wasn't the same. But that's not the point. I think that you have to do that. And the question is, can you do it successfully?
It's too close to what came before.
I reckon this is less close than The Force Awakens, though, right? Yeah. The Force Awakens had like the same moments, man.
Yeah. Well, but then this film has a lot of those too.
Okay, so with this meal, you know the score? The plang, 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 right? I thought that was like, that's the only thing that made it feel like the old movies to me. Everything else feels different.
I like the way that they held off Ray Parker Jr.'s Ghostbusters till the very end of the film.
Of course.
Ecto-1 is driving back into New York.
What did you think about Bokeem Woodgain's, who are you going to call? They threw that in there. I giggled.
Oh, I think I also laughed as well. Yeah, but almost a slap your forehead moment.
It was, but I think Woodbine,
I'm pretty sure, was credited fourth on the credits. And I'm like, dude's in it for like 1.5 minutes. Doesn't pop up at the end at all. What the fuck is going on there?
Yeah, exactly.
Were all his scenes cut from the film? And that's, he just had the agent made that deal? Like, no, he's going to be high up. No, it doesn't matter how much you cut the cunt. I mean, sorry.
What's Bokeem doing these days? Like, what's the last movie he had? Well,
he's a recognizable face.
He's definitely a recognizable face.
Motherfucker doesn't age. Jesus Christ.
Well, speaking of which, Winston's... Oh, we're spoilers now.
Oh, yeah. How much?
Yeah, black really don't crack.
Like, absolutely does not. He's such a good-looking fella.
He's a fucking good-looking fella.
Compared to Ray and
everyone
Peter.
Else is fucked.
Okay, now I'm going to have a shout-out to a friend here of the show. Sorry, which we had a bit of a chat this week.
Go on.
Judy Dutrum.
Yep.
From the Shaken Not Nerd podcast.
Yep.
Judy was trying to suggest that Sigourney Weaver still got it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He's a much younger man than we are as well.
Yes, he's a younger man. So he said that of the two female leads, well, nah,
so again, another spoiler here. Gozo, this time, is played by Olivia Wilde, who Wayne also did not recognize.
I didn't see her.
Oh, this is like, hot damn. Even with this makeup and that hair, still hot.
Didn't recognize her at all. So, wow. All right. And I like the fact that the red-haired flat-top woman came back. I'm like, hey, I remember in the
80s. Redhead?
She's a redhead, bro.
Well, not in this version.
She's redhead as fuck, bro.
She was dark.
Hold on, motherfucker.
Okay, he's bringing up your inches. Let's go to the elevator music.
Okay, I can't find a fucking picture of her, but in my head, she was always a redhead. Loot, motherfucker. Well, it's a new film, Paul.
Maybe we'll find an original picture of the original Gozer.
I'm writing flat top Ghostbusters.
Just write Gozer, you dickhead.
Oh, Gozer cunt. Hang on.
All right, fuck, we'll go back to the elevator music.
Gozer. Here we are. Is she not a redhead, Paul?
No, you look at the red eyes, you dumb prick.
Wait, she, really? Yeah, you're right. She probably isn't a redhead. I guess I just was hoping for that as a child. I like me some redheads. All right, so anyway, back to the show.
Olivia Wilde, great little cameo. I thought that was really enjoyable. And then, of course, the big thing is, at the end of the film, we get one phone call, well, not the end of the film, between Phoebe and Ray, and she informs him that Egon is dead, because that's the cold open to the film. Egon, straight into it, and you know it's him, and they shoot it. I think Jason Reitman shoots it very well.
I think so, too.
Hal Ramis obviously dying 5-6 years ago. Yeah. This is a love letter to him. It even ends with For Harold.
Yeah.
As
fine with. I love
that. That was great. No, that was, if you've got a heart, a little bit of heartstrings at the end.
I think so.
The three Ghostbusters come back, including they've established that Winston Zeddemore's gone on to be a real commercial success. And then Phoebe's managing to hold the proton pack and shoot it. And it turns out that Egon's holding her as well.
Now, that was the best. That was the most bit, right?
That was great.
And like, but also when the three turn, when spoilers, Bill Murray, Gray and fucking Winston.
All three of them come back.
Yeah. All three of them come back at the end. This boom, turn up. Now, the thing is, the scene was not grandiose enough for me. When you see them first on screen, they're just standing
there. They're just standing there. They didn't come
in. Hey, boom.
You know, maybe drive in on the Ecto-1.
Yeah, I want a fucking entrance,
man.
Smash
Gozer out of the way.
Exactly. That's what you want. And then they all step out. That would have been cool. This was a little subdued for me.
Well, when I see the budget of $75 million, I start to understand.
I mean, okay. I guess it was I'm sure the director would have like, can we make this better? And like, we can't afford it. Like, fuck. Like, I'm sure that was like
great callback. The best callback, the best throwback at all, homage was, are you a god?
Yeah. Ray.
And they all look at Ray. Ray. Yeah. And he still pauses. Yes. Very funny.
That's why I'm saying, like, is it enough to actually get me there?
It is for me. It's enough to get me there.
It's definitely there.
Did I love the film? No. I think it could have been greatly improved. I think we're really getting to it now. Finn Wolfhard's character, as you say, Lucky, I think her name was. Terrible character. Mm-hmm. Finn Wolfhard just wants to bang a hot chick he sees.
Yeah, that goes.
I mean, he's a teenage boy, I get it, but that's. And then he drives Ecto-1.
Yeah, that could be a subtext. Yep. Like, well, what is he there
we
for?
Needed more of that.
Exactly.
He built the car, which was odd given that Phoebe was the tech person in the family and used to building everything. I love the seat. It came out.
The fucking gunner seat?
Yeah, the gunner seat.
That's so cool. And straight from the real Ghostbusters cartoon. They actually
is that where that was from?
I'm like, okay. Woo, because they never did it in the movie.
Exactly. Cool. I thought that was a really cool addition.
Yeah.
Really.
Did you think the podcast character worked?
No.
No, right? I actually was sitting there looking at him going, he's now starting to annoy me a bit, right? But I will tell you this. The kid actor, whatever his name is, I don't have it. He's doing a good job with those lines. If you had to try and sell those lines, he was doing as good a job as he could with it. I remember thinking that.
Yeah, I would also agree. I think the funniest bit of the film is the Stay Puft Marshmallow Little Men.
Which is weird because they're like cannibals.
Particularly kind of. in the supermarket where Paul Rudd sees them and they start killing each other and whatever else. Yeah. This is mischievous. Like gremlins. I don't give a fuck.
I was thinking that you might like that because that's very sort of like, fucking, what's the Bruce Campbell fucking, the third one?
Oh, yeah.
Army of Darkness with the little ashes. It's a little bit like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But without being stupid and going,
that was weird.
So, look, I did enjoy it. I'd like the fact that they brought the Ghostbusters back in one way, but in the other way, the whole thing's contingent on them. They were going to lose until they walked back in. We either needed to go harder into that way and make it more a Ghostbusters 3, or we needed to not rely upon them to save the day. I'm not sure which way they should have gone, but I think it was a mistake to end it the way that it did.
Point of interest, there is a game, a Ghostbusters game. Yeah, which
they all did come back for that one, didn't they? All the voices.
Yeah, and
apparently Bill Murray and Harold Ramis had a massive falling out.
That's what I've heard as well. But when they did that game, it was said by one of the producers or Ivan Reitman.
Who's a genius.
That is the unofficial... That is the unofficial.
There's like two other people in the world who will get that joke.
Reference. Yeah, sorry, The Late Show. Anyway, I've already said that game is the unofficial third book Ghostbusters.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, you could actually go that and play that game and you kind of got it.
Hey, if you work on The Late Show in the early 90s and you've ever listened to this podcast and we've made that joke.
Can you write in,
please? I'd just love to get some.
I don't mean
in front of the camera. I mean, if you're a cameraman, if you're a
script editor. Yeah, anyway, whatever. Just that'd be cool. Okay. All right. So, my question then was, at the end, when you see New York.
So we're back, the after credits sequence.
Yeah. Now, is that a shot in the future of those guys being the new Ghostbusters? Or is it a throwback to, I think it's a throwback to the 80s Ghostbusters.
No, I know. I think they're resetting up to go again, maybe working out of New York. And maybe it's the kids are popular. I can't.
Because Winston had bought the firehouse again.
Yeah, because he's so rich, he just bought it back and whatever else.
So what, they went back to Ghostbusting? The three of them?
I don't think they went back. I think they're setting up for the next generation. Maybe not. Maybe the kids. I don't know.
Well, only one of them can barely drive. But okay. No, the kids can't do it. The kids aren't going to New York and start a fucking Ghostbusting business.
It's an interesting question. But they're not. Those dudes are what? 70?
Yeah. Probably. Getting there.
I mean, Zeb Orr looks like he's 43.
Yeah, exactly. He's probably younger anyway. Like
a little bit.
Yeah. But
he's obviously infamously or famously was meant to be Eddie Murphy. And then they just wrote him out of it once Eddie Murphy couldn't commit to the film. So,
really?
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Question for you, Paul. Very important.
Right.
Throwing back to what you said earlier, of the female leads in the film, Sigourney Weaver, Olivia Wilde, but as that character, not as Olivia Wilde, all right? Or Carrie Coon. Which way are you going? Which way are you going?
Very important. Going? Olivia Wilde.
Even like that?
The makeup would come off.
Oh, fuck off, man. She's got red eyes and she's going to put those eyes near your
junk.
Look,
if she's saying, are you a god? I'm like, let me show you.
Oh, shit. Well, we've learned today that Paul is far more sexually confident than me.
Thrill me.
Shit. So, really, you would go her? It's the mom, bro. It's the fucking mom. Look, she's fine, right? But like,
let my freak flag fly.
Oh, it's motherfuckers like in red-eyed women. Just point of fact, everyone, there you go.
I'm pretty sure Goza can look like what she wants to look like. So once I thrill her, she can... go back to being original Olivia Wilde.
Wait, I think you had a question here. Egon, at the end, is a ghost. The idea of making him a ghost is, first of all, I thought was brilliant. Egon becomes a ghost.
Looked really good. Thought special effects very good. Look again, great. Looking at the budget, looked really good.
Wise move not to make him speak, I thought. Very, very wise.
I did find that a bit weird, given that other ghosts can all make vocal utterances. But also this one. Like,
it's made it more reverent,
the trap is the whole farm.
Why didn't Egon get sucked in? I was thinking about it. when you brought that up in our little chat.
Do you think there's an answer for it? Or is it just like, don't think too hard
about
it?
The only thing I can think, because he didn't disappear when the traps were being deployed. He actually was there holding the
game. Exactly.
Look, I'm going to let him have this because I didn't think this
but it is
time.
A flaw, right?
It is a flaw. He could have gotten sucked in if every ghost in the Tri-State area or whatever was getting sucked in.
All right. Let's score this one, Wayne. Ghostbusters Afterlife. Obviously, if you're here, you have seen the film or you just don't care. Mm. But for those who are coming after, they've seen it on January 1st in Australia, what do you reckon?
65 out of 100.
Yeah, I'm a little bit lower than you. Mm. I am 59. But around about the same.
Not score. Bad. Okay.
So three stars like, for the both of us. For Ghostbusters Afterlife, what did you think? Did you love the shit out of this one, or did it really fall flat for you? And flat top by was what I mean there.
Who's blowing Paul? Yeah. Okay. Bitch, please.
Shit. Let us know via email, thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, via Twitter @thecountdownpc, or you can like and follow the show on podbean.com, which is where we host. Tell a friend about the show and check out the merch store. Links in the show notes. If you want to get something in time for Christmas, now is the time to order.
VIP.
Don't you want to open up a shirt that says, I stand resolute, motherfucker, in front of your family on Christmas Day.
Or simply eat all the asses. Like, that's a, you know, that's a great t-shirt.
Turkey, chicken. All right, thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
This is the dumbest shit anyone ever said in the history of, and I don't think I'm exaggerating here, time.
Back because off. Chicken assholes and turkey assholes shouldn't be eating. We'll catch you next time. See ya. Something strange in your neighborhood.